with Joshua pushing through a little bit the last couple of days. We were in Buffalo, and so Joshua getting more and more comfortable with his role in our offense and what that really is and what that entails from a run standpoint, pass standpoint, and then, like I said, getting on the same page with Josh. You know, I thought Joshua looked good the other day, making a couple of key catches and some of the move the ball periods and pushing through some of the soreness he was working through.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. As the Bills get ready to take on the Bears for preseason game number 2 tomorrow. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you on a Sports Talk Saturday. By the way, how dare I? I didn't open the show with this, and shame on me. So at 12 o'clock, we're going to talk some UB football.
Okay.
Because why not shine a light on the Bahama Bowl champs?
Yes.
And we're going to do that with Maniac from Trainwreck Sports coming up at noon. So we're going to have ourselves a great time. It'll be tons of fun. And, hey, who knows? Maybe we might be talking about the future MAC champs.
You never know.
Never know.
The way they're trending with Lembo as the head coach, I mean, it's not out of the question.
It's a positive direction considering that they really had to build back up from a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. But, it'll be interesting to see what...
And they lose Leipold and it was a tough recovery, but they got through.
Yeah. And Coach Mo Lindquist ended up going to Alabama as a defensive assistant or something on the defensive side of the ball.
But again, you got to find the right guys still to make sure you get out of the abyss. And Lembo does look like that right now. Back to Bills Bears for a moment, though. I hinted at the break, there is something that I do need answered a lot better than what Saturday gave me last week.
Mm-hmm.
The pass rush.
Okay.
Caleb Williams was sacked 68 times last year, Joe. 68.
I remember, because that was, a rough season for the rookie. Let's just say that.
And I tried picking them to be a winner of the North.
Yeah, I had what they call hope. And, you know, it's like a lot of people around here have for a specific team. But it doesn't always come to fruition.
Well, as a certain Sabres hockey player has told us, hope is a...
bleep strategy.
Cruddy strategy.
Poopy strategy. Yeah, something. Something along those lines.
And the thing is that the Bears, though, they started 4-2.
They looked a little promising to start the season.
Then they come back from the bye week and just roll over and die.
It was bad.
Infamously started that 10-game losing streak with a Hail Mary.
That's right.
Downhill from there.
And Jaden Daniels makes that Hail Mary happen.
And it's deflected up. It's caught. What a game. What a finish. Not what a game. What a finish. It was a very boring game. At the time, it was what? 15-12? I wouldn't call that a great game.
No, it wasn't fantastic, but that made it fantastic, that Hail Mary at
right.
the end.
So, but then the Bears, they proceed to lose 10 straight. And offensively, look like a terrible team. Within that 10-game streak, there's only twice that they get over 20 points.
Yeah, it was bad. And you knew questions were going to be asked about the head coach at that point.
Head coach gets fired, offensive coordinator gets fired.
They cleaned house, essentially, and are rebooting it with Ben Johnson, who they're hoping, with his offensive mind in Detroit, can translate some of that over to the Bears. And it's yet to be seen in real game action. Again, we're still in the preseason, but what I worry about...
So why am I bringing all this up, though? It's about the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bills could not get home 51 times against the New York Giants last week, hey, you know what? I got some promising plays out of some young guns. I could take something from this. Joey Bosa looked fresh. For example, obviously not a young gun, but Bosa looks fresh. Cool. If he played the whole game, he probably has one against the Giants O-line.
Right.
Safe to assume the way he was playing. Now, though, I don't care who's on the field. If you don't get to the quarterback on a team that let up 68 sacks last year, after you did not get to the quarterback on 51 dropbacks last week, I'm going to have questions. They're not going to be good ones. They're not going to be nice ones. They're going to be very overreactionary for a preseason game. And one of those questions is not just about the pass rush, it's about the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something with the scheme that is allowing it that the pass rush does not have as much time as they think they do?
I mean, it's tough to even look at it that way, though, because they don't scheme for the other team. Like, you know, but they're just trying things out.
Pass coverage are still things that need to be married even in a preseason game. And at points in the postseason, particularly against Kansas City, they were filing for divorce.
Well, yeah. And I'm not going to dispute that by any means. I think it's just,
I won't feel great about the passing defense again if I don't see a single sack in two preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to feel good about it, because that even means then your depth isn't getting home.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say it, and it's going to be overreactionary, but that's just kind of the reality of what I'm looking at it in.
No, I get it. I get it. I just struggle to look at the preseason and come away with a serious worry, because I get it. They have to be married even in the preseason, but also,
you're telling me you can't make a play on two bad teams last year?
I mean, I guess. I'm not saying you shouldn't be able to, but if they're not, like, they're just, I didn't see a blitz called. I mean, the one where TJ Sanders got Jackson Dart on the, ended up being a touchdown, but hit home on him. And also the Deion Walker batting the pass right in front of Dart's face, if he held on to that for a second longer. Like, you've seen these younger guys, like, getting there. I'm not saying they shouldn't be sacking, but also, if you have Bosa with the younger guys, I do think you do see, I think they do have the ability to do so. I'm not throwing up the red alert if they don't do it in the preseason.
I'm not throwing up a red alert, but I'm throwing a question mark up there, because especially when I'm seeing that in joint practice, the pass rush was killing them. So this is ultimately a moot point. But if you don't get it done in a game, I'm going to get concerned.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Because in joint practices, it looks like they would have been credited with multiple sacks.
But in joint practices, you might be actually scheming against what the offense is doing. You know what I'm saying? Where in the preseason game, you're just you're kind of just, oh, second string starters out there today.
You don't really have time for install when you're facing another team. That's the thing.
Yeah, they might say, like, oh, they're doing this.
Because you're still not giving anything away
about
who you are.
I get it.
But so you don't really have install going on.
It's not necessarily install. It's more so, oh, they're doing this, let's give them a man.
They're probably doing more of what they would want to do, though. Yes,
yeah.
I will agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just, oh, we're going to go with our preseason game plan and that's it. We're not going to adjust.
Right.
They're probably adjusting in practice.
They're doing things that they've installed already, though.
Mm-hmm.
You are correct about that. But again, when it comes to pass rush, it was a burning question. It's one that the Bills tried to solve by reworking the entire defensive line room. To where on the defensive end, there's three holdovers from last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
Just three. Epinesa, who's a candidate to be cut if he's not producing. Javon Solomon, who's probably in said fight for a roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Rousseau, who got an extension.
Yeah. Epinesa's an interesting story to look at. And just two seasons ago, he had more interceptions on the year than Sauce Gardner. He would always bat those passes down and ended up grabbing them, right? Like, that was kind of his calling card.
Right.
He's not as physical at setting the edge. He's not as physical at getting to the quarterback, right? Like, he struggles with those things.
He's a solid roster player, but the problem with that is that he was higher up on the rotation.
He's almost the DeMar Hamlin of the defensive line.
Replacement level player.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where you're at, I think.
It also will have something to say about it's not just exclusively on the pass rush. In Sal's arrow up, arrow down, for example, Trey White is on the downside.
Mm-hmm.
Jamarcus Ingram is on the downside. And that's the other position that the Bills heavily addressed in the offseason was corner. White is part of that group of additions. But D-line and corner, it is not an accident that these are the two things. And I'm talking about something that ultimately might be a moot point because of the fact that I would imagine they're going to get a couple sacks on the Bears tomorrow night.
I think they will.
Especially because, again, Caleb Williams, he holds on to the ball too long. You don't get to 68 sacks by your offensive line exclusively being bad. Your quarterback does it too.
Mm-hmm. I'm already seeing a bunch of Bears fans on Twitter saying, what would have happened if Jaden Daniels was drafted by the Bears? Would they have made a divisional round run like they did? I don't think so.
I don't think so, but you're also not going in with the only second-year quarterback with bad vibes.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably – Zach and I talked about this yesterday of what second-year – who in the class of second-year quarterbacks has the worst vibes? It's Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has a more pessimistic outlook right now.
No, and he was the most touted going into the draft.
McCarthy is the one that, like, yeah, he got hurt. So who knows what he even is?
Mm-hmm.
Bo Nix makes the playoffs. He looks good in the second half of the season. Jaden Daniels, obviously.
One of the standouts and kind of starting to breach into the conversation of top quarterback talent in the league, right? Just Drake, looking at what he was able to do.
Drake May has a bunch of additions at wide receiver now. They're hoping that things can turn around, but he also did not look out of place on a bad Patriots team.
No, I remember most notably in Highmark Stadium last season, not the Joe Milton game, the actual game they played.
Patriots gave him fits.
He gave a little bit of a scare to the Bills defense. He moved his way down the field on them, and that was, again, the problem last season. That's why they invested so heavily in the defense in the offseason. But
right.
He did, like you said, did not look out of place. He looked like he meant to be there. That's for sure.
And then Michael Penix kind of helped get Atlanta back into a playoff chase last year, late. Because
mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins was clearly showing he's not in anymore. He doesn't have the goods. They move to Penix, and they're more competitive, and they try to win the South, and they just can't. They fall short, ultimately.
I remember when they drafted Penix, when they did, and we were like, why would they do that? They have Kirk Cousins. I guess it worked out for him.
Right.
I guess they wanted to hedge their bet on Kirko, but yeah, it's tough because Caleb Williams will have the spotlight on him. Out of last year's draft class, you're absolutely right. He is the only one that's going to really have the beam on his face to make a huge, huge jump.
Especially because the Seth Wickersham book comes out and there are excerpts about Williams not wanting to go to Chicago.
And hashtag daddy hates the Bears, all that stuff, right? Like his dad saying that. Not that, but saying things about the Chicago Bears.
Why do you do this?
And it's just, there's pressure. The offseason pressure. And we have to see if he crumbles or if he can stand under the pressure. And it's going to be, I have my eyes on Cleveland as an alternative team to just pay attention to, strictly because of that. What do they do? Ben Johnson can't get a hold on Caleb Williams. Look at what he did with Jared Goff in that offense.
Right.
Is it Caleb Williams? That's where it's going to go now.
That's going to become the question.
Yeah.
Because, ready? Williams and his father having reservations about the Bears, they are ultimately proven right.
Yeah.
Shane Waldron is fired before the halfway point of the season. Matt Eberflus shortly after that.
Yes.
So ultimately, they are proven right. Those were not the coaches to make that pick. They never should have been in the first place.
No, it's like someone worrying about getting drafted to the Cleveland Browns and their family worrying about it. I mean, it's the same deal.
It was the same deal, but it was also, you looked at those coaches specifically. They are part of the excerpts in that book. It is about Waldron and Eberflus, mm-hmm. the offensive coordinator and the head coach.
Yeah.
And knowing that this was not good enough. They're proven right. But now, that's the problem when you point out a flaw and you correct it. The target shifts. That's why a couple of years ago, when the Bills were struggling and will they, won't they steal the AFC East away from Miami. But during that season, it became, is Sean McDermott next? Because, well, Ken Dorsey got fired.
Right, if they couldn't turn it around.
If they stayed
around 500 and made a wild card spot or missed the playoffs, that would have been it probably.
You removed the big target that a lot of people were probably going to start gunning for, and it shifts to you. Like, that is just the nature of the NFL at that point. Williams, now it's the same thing. They've corrected, but now, does it get to you? And if the Bills don't get to him, it's going to get to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we got to get to the booty cheek of the week coming up next. There's a lot We have a lot, so many choices to pick from.
Yes.
But we also want to make sure that we're time on task, on time here, because we've got Maniac from Trainwreck Sports talking UB football at noon here on Sports Talk Saturday.